Take your Bible, please, and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want to talk to you today, a message that's been on my heart the last few days before I found out that Brother Wayne was going to be gone and I needed to speak. I want to talk to you today about a father's love, the father's love. This is Luke 15. Verses 1 through 24 we'll be looking at today. You know, a father's love may mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. You know, some had wonderful, godly fathers, and so when they think of a father's love, they have an image in their mind that is that based on that earthly father that they had. Others might have had fathers who were either absent or uninvolved, or even abusive. And so when you talk about a father's love, that may have a completely different context to some folks. My father passed away when I was 13 years old. Now, he was a good, loving father who cared for our family, and I knew I was loved. But after the age of 13, I didn't have a concept of what a father's love was as an older teenager, as a young adult, as an adult relating to one's father. So as I am a father now of adult children, I didn't have a pattern to follow in my own life in that respect. So everyone's concept of the father's love is a little bit different. But when the Bible speaks of God as our heavenly Father, that may not communicate the same thing to everyone. So I want to ask the question this morning, and think about, what is our Heavenly Father's love like? How can we understand the love that our Heavenly Father has for us? How can we comprehend it? I believe God gave us some illustrations of the Father's love through Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 15. The College and Career Bible Study started this past week, and we're doing a video-based study by Pastor Greg Laurie called Tell Someone. And this week, a part of that message, he got into Luke chapter 15, and he was talking about the joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And that got me thinking about the Father's love and how it relates really to all of the parables that Jesus told, the stories that Jesus told in this chapter. So let's get the setting and circumstance of what's going on first. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." So the publicans and sinners, the bad folks, so to speak, came to hear him. And it says, "The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with him." And we know from studying the Bible and Bible history, that the Pharisees were very legalistic. They didn't want to have anything to do with sinners. They didn't honestly believe if they touched someone who was a sinner, it defiled them and that sort of thing. So they're wondering, why is Jesus talking to all these publicans and sinners? And then Jesus told three stories, three very familiar stories in this chapter. In verses 3 through 7, he tells the story about the lost sheep. Let's read verses 3 through 7. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I think this particular little story, these few verses, show us two things about the Father's love. You know, Jesus told the story, a shepherd has got sheep in the wilderness. He's got 100 sheep, but one of them strays away. The first thing I see about the Father's love in this particular story is that the Father's love is individual. Did you notice in verse 4, The man has 100 sheep. If he lose, how many? One of them. You know, I might be inclined, I've never been a shepherd, but I might be inclined to say, well, I've still got 99. Okay, one out of 99 is not too bad, but that's not the feeling of this particular shepherd. He's lost one sheep, and he's going to go after that. You know, the Father's love is individual for you. Yes, God loves the human race. God loves humanity. God loves all Christians. But you need to remember the fact that God loves you as an individual. Why would this man leave 99 perfectly good, healthy sheep in the wilderness to go look for one? Because he had an individual love, and he's searching after that one. And that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. His love for you is individual. When you talk to him in prayer, he doesn't have to go open his Rolodex or pull up his contacts and his phone and say, let's see, who, John Yates, who, oh yeah, yeah, I remember him. No, he knows us individually, and he loves us individually. The second thing, I think it's pretty obvious out of this little story, is the Father's love is a pursuing love. You see, again, in verse 4, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and do what? Go after that which is lost. He doesn't just stand around and say, man, I hate I lost that one sheep. I wish that sheep would come home. He doesn't stand there and say, sheep, come home. He goes after that sheep. Because the Heavenly Father's love is a pursuing love. Do you realize that the God of the universe, who created all there is and still right now is holding it all in place, He wants a relationship with you. He wants fellowship with you. He is pursuing after you. And I can tell you, I think on the authority of God's Word, I can tell you, if you belong to the Heavenly Father and stray away in some respect, like this sheep strayed away, He loves you so much as an individual that He will pursue you until He can draw you back into the fold. That's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? That's the kind of love the Heavenly Father has for those of us who belong to Him. But now, wait a minute. There's another side to that. If you don't yet belong to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, the Father loves you individually, and He is pursuing you. He wants you to no longer be lost, but He wants you to come to Him. So in the story of the lost sheep, we can see that the Father's love for each of us is individual, and it is pursuing. And again, in verse 7, note the joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. This man, when he found his sheep, called his friends together to celebrate with him because he found the one that was lost. There's a celebration there. And Jesus says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's put that in context. I don't know how many we have in this building today, but we got more than 99 in here, right? I believe, don't you believe that God likes for us to come to church? This is not a trick question. You believe God likes for us to come to church? Do you believe God likes it when we sing hymns that praise and glorify Him? I believe He does. Do you think He likes it when we pray prayers in church and we corporately worship the Lord together? Do you think He likes that? I think He likes that. But He likes it even more when one person who's strayed away, who's a sinner, comes to repentance and comes back to Him. There's more joy. Heaven today may be looking down and saying, Morningside's worshiping. That's great. We just love it when Morningside worships. But then when a sinner comes to Jesus, or a saved person turns back from their straying to get back right with Jesus, there is a hallelujah fit going on in heaven over that one that returned. Amen. So that's the lost sheep in verses 3 through 7. The next story in verses 8 through 10 is the lost coin. In verse 8, it says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Now, when you first look at that story on the surface, you might think, you know, she had 10 coins. She had 10 pennies. She had 10 quarters, whatever they might be. But she lost one of them. And on the surface, I might think, well, hey, I still got the other 9. I'm okay. I only lost one. I can still make it. But let's understand the significance of these 10 pieces of silver. These 10 silver coins were woven together into a necklace. Some commentators say the women wore it across their forehead, and it showed that they were married. It was their wedding ring, basically. How much would you search if you lost your wedding ring? I lost my wedding ring a couple of years ago. It was cold weather, and it slipped off my finger, and I got inside. I think it was the next day. I thought, where is my wedding ring? And I went back out to the car. When I'd reached down to get the seat belt, it had fallen off, and it was right there on the seat where I could find it. Praise the Lord. If you lost your wedding ring, you'd probably go looking for it. And that's the significance of this one coin for this woman. This is her wedding necklace that shows that she's a married woman. And she goes and searches for that coin. But what we find about what I think we can draw out of this little story about the Father's love for us is that Father's love is a searching love. Now, before I said pursuing, pursuing means I'm chasing after. I'm on the hunt. I'm going after. This is a searching love. And you see, in verse 8, it says, the woman lost a coin. It says she will seek diligently. She is searching for that coin. She turned the house upside down. Have you ever turned the house upside down? Something's gone missing. And you think, let's see, where did I have it last? Where was it? And you go to turning the house upside down. And you might look in drawers, and you might look under things, and you might... Have you ever dug through the trash can because you thought you may have accidentally thrown something away? I've done that. And I found a thing or two in the trash can before. You know, that is diligently searching for something. She didn't just look around and say, well, I'm missing a coin. Let's look around. Nope, don't see it. I guess I lost it. She is diligently searching. And what that tells me is that the Heavenly Father loves you and me so much. This woman turned her house upside down to find that coin. I believe the Heavenly Father will turn your world upside down if it's necessary to get your attention and draw you to Himself. So the Heavenly Father's love is a searching love. But there's another thing I see in verse 8 there. It says the woman searched diligently until she found it, until she find it. The Heavenly Father's love is a persistent love. We don't get the impression this woman looked around for 5 minutes and gave up. She kept searching. She kept searching. Perhaps that coin had fallen through a crack in the floor, if they had a floor. Perhaps the coin had fallen behind the dresser. She kept searching and she kept searching, and she didn't stop until she found it. She didn't stop until she found the coin. And I believe this is telling us that the Heavenly Father loves you so much, He won't give up or He won't quit seeking you. You remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned? What was the thing that the Father said? Adam, where are you? He was searching and he was persistent. And I believe that is the case with our Heavenly Father. So I want to tell you that if you belong to the Heavenly Father, if you belong to Jesus Christ, and you somehow, like that coin, get out of place or drop out of sight or drop out of service to the Lord, I think He loves you so much that He will search diligently for you. And you say, Brother John, God doesn't need to search. He knows right where we are. Yeah, but He's still using His influence to search, to draw you, to bring you back. He will search diligently until you, for you until He brings you back where you should be. Brother John, I used to sing in the choir. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to do this and I used to do that. I used to come to Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I just kind of got out of the habit of that. If you belong to Jesus Christ, I think he's coming after you. And he's going to search persistently for you. But you know what? If you're lost, if you're like that coin and you are lost, you don't know Jesus Christ, I believe the Father loves you so much that he is searching persistently for you. In fact, he loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you. That's pretty good searching, wouldn't you say? He wants to bring you into his family. And again, in verse 10, notice the joy in heaven. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There is joy over one who comes back to God or one who comes to God. So in that story of the lost sheep, we saw that the Heavenly Father's love is an individual love and a pursuing love. And this story about the woman and the coin, that's his love is searching and then it is also persistent. But let's take a look at the next several verses, verses 11 through 24. And let's see what we learn about the Heavenly Father's love in the story of the lost coin. We had a lost sheep, we have a lost coin, now we have a lost son in verses 11 through 24. Starting at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Let me just pause there for a few words. This Jewish boy is now feeding what? Pigs, swine. That's not kosher. And he's spent all his money, and he is now in want. And notice, too, that boy went to his father and said, give me all the stuff that I'm going to inherit when you're dead. That boy as well as said, Dad, I don't know why you're living this long. I wish you were dead. I really want my half of the inheritance. That's pretty shocking, isn't it? Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is a wonderful story, a wonderful illustration of our Father's love for us. But before we get into that, thinking about our Father's love, I want you to think for a moment about the condition of someone who is away from the Father, someone who is bound in sin. It says in verse 12 that the Father divided all his goods and gave the younger son his portion. And I said half. Actually, the older would have gotten two portions and the younger would have gotten one, so a third, basically. And it says the younger son took it all and went into a far country, verse 13, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Do you realize this father took a portion of everything he had owned and accumulated and earned throughout his entire life and gave it to this son who went off and wasted it and threw it away? He wasted it in riotous living. And that reminds me that a lost person, someone who is away from the Father, is going to waste the good things that God provides for them. And also, in verses 14 and 16, 14 through 16, it tells us that a person who is away from the Father is in need spiritually. They are spiritually hungry. This boy had a lot of friends when he had the money flowing, and he had a big time. He let the good times roll, and he had a great time. But when his money ran out, he didn't have any friends anymore, and he was in want, and he went to some of his drinking buddies and partying pals and said, "Can you lend me some money?" "No, no, we can't lend you any money. We had a great time while it lasted, but I hadn't got any money for you." And so he ends up taking a job feeding pigs, as we've already said, and he got to the point where he was so hungry that he wanted to fill his belly with the slop that the pigs ate, verse 16. So those who are away from the Father are spiritually in need. They're spiritually hungry. And verse 17 says that he came to himself. So that reminds me of the fact that if you're away from God the Father, if you're away from the Lord, you can't even think straight. You're unable to think straight. This boy had to come to his senses before he even knew what he needed to do. Look at verse 17. It says, when he came to himself, he said, "Look, I'm living out here in the field, feeding these pigs, wanting to eat the pig slop. And back home, my father's got hired servants who live better than I do and eat better than I do. I ought to come to my senses and go back and try to see if my father will hire me on as a servant." So we picked up some lessons about the father's love out of the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. I see about four things in this story of the lost son that tell us about the father's love. First, the father's love is patient. Look at verse 20. The boy arose, young man, whatever age he was, he came to his father, and it says, "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him." The father saw him. We don't know how many years had passed. We don't know how much time has passed, but this father is still looking for his son. It says he was a great way off. I believe this father kept looking down that road day after day after day. Maybe his wife would say, "Honey, what are you doing? Where are you going?" "I'm going to look down the road again." And she might say, "I'll give up on that. That boy's never coming back again." "No, I'm going to look down that road again." And he's looking for his son to return. He didn't give up. And I want to tell you, on the authority of God's Word, the Heavenly Father is patiently waiting for you to turn from your sin and turn back to Him. Whether if you belong to Him and you're like this son and you've wandered into a distant land, He's waiting for you to turn back. If you don't know Him and you've got a drawing sense, that's Him waiting for you to turn. Another thing I see in verse 20, the Father's love is patient. But it also says the father saw him and had, what's the next word? Compassion. He had compassion on this boy. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What is compassion? You know, we might see a need. We might be made aware of a need. But compassion is when you feel what that need is. And I often use this illustration. If you see on TV the commercial of the starving children in another country, you might think, "Oh, isn't that sad?" But if you have compassion, that's concern. But if you have compassion, you want to get involved in helping to meet that need. This father had compassion on the son. I believe when he saw him coming down the road, I think he saw the toll that that sinful living had taken on that son. I think he remembered that boy going off proud and cocky and feeling like he had the world by the tail. and coming back down that road, maybe with his head down, realizing that a toll had been taken on that boy because of his sinful living. And the father, he looked down the road, he waited, and he was compassionate. Do you notice the father does not scold or rebuke the son? That boy shows up and the father doesn't say, "What are you doing back here? I didn't figure I'd ever see you again. Where's all that money I gave you?" He didn't scold or rebuke the son. He had compassion on him, and he ran to him. Pastor Greg Laurie in the DVD we watched the other night pointed out the fact that in the Bible times, older men did not run. It was undignified. And he made the point that older men now, it may not be undignified, but it's a little impractical for older men to run. But in those days, older men did not run. But this man ran to his son. He put his dignity aside. He didn't let his dignity keep him from going to that son. And you notice he wasn't standoffish. Like, okay, what do you got to say for yourself? No, he ran to the son and he welcomed the son with open arms. He hugged and kissed the son. And I want you to know the Heavenly Father has compassion on you. He cares about your need. What is your need today? He cares about your need. And if you sincerely come to Him, He will not rebuke you or reject you, but He will compassionately and gladly receive you. How many times have I heard people who have been church people, maybe Christians, and they've fallen into some kind of sin, and maybe they've been out a long time, and they say, "What would people think if I showed back up?" Everybody's going to be happy. What does God think? He's going to be happy. Look at this father running and throwing his arms around this boy. So the father's love is patient and the father's love is compassionate. But in verses 22 and 23, we see that the father's love is welcoming. It's welcoming. In verse 22 and 23, it says the father, in verse 21, the boy started his speech. All the way home, I don't know how far this was, it was a far country, but all the way home, he's been rehearsing his speech. "Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired servants. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven." He's going over that speech. He's got that rehearsed. You ever had a big meeting or something you really needed important to say to someone? You go over that in your mind. And all the way home, this boy's been going over that speech. And he just gets started on his speech. He says, "I've sinned," and that's all he says. "I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son." And the father just interrupts him there and says, "Forget that. Forget that. You're my son and you're back." And he says in verse 22, he told his servants, "Bring the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." The father welcomed him back into the family with gifts of clothing and of food. This boy's probably in rags and tattered, and he's emaciated because he didn't have anything to eat except hog slop. And now the father welcomes him back in with clothing and with food. He didn't make him a servant, but he made him a son again. He restored him to that position as son once again. And I think Jesus is telling us through this story that the Heavenly Father's love is a welcoming love. If you want to come back to where you were with God, He is going to welcome you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to come to Him, He is going to welcome you with open arms whenever we come to Him with a repentant heart. And one more thing I think we see that's illustrated in this story about the Father's love. It's a forgiving love. Look at verse 24. He says, "For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he is found." And they began to make merry. He was dead. Where was he dead? He wasn't physically dead, right? He was in the far country. in the hog pen. He wasn't physically dead, but as far as that family was dead, was concerned, he was dead because he was dead in sin. He was lost to them. He wasn't a part of the family, but now he's found. The Father forgave the Son's sins. Lord, put something on my mind this week I'd never thought about before. That Father paid for that boy's sins. Now think about it this way. The Father gave him his inheritance, which he went and took and used for sin, right? So that Father literally financed the boy's sin off in the far country. But when he came to himself and when he repented and when he came back to the Father's paying for the boy's sin still. Put a new robe on him. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a big feast. He's still paying for the boy's sins. He paid for that boy's sins, that son's sins. And you know what? You see the connection, don't you? Our Heavenly Father paid for our sins, right? By sending His Son. He paid the ultimate price by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And because of Christ's sacrificial death, the Heavenly Father stands ready to forgive you. He stands ready to welcome you. He has compassion. He cares about you. But my question has to be, are you ready to come? Are you ready to repent and come back to Jesus? So if you belong to the Heavenly Father, we've seen some wonderful truths about the Father's love. If you belong to the Heavenly Father and get caught up in sin, He loves you so much He will wait patiently for you to come to the end of yourself. Sometimes we might look at folks and say, I wonder why they don't turn to, why don't they turn to God? Why don't they turn to God? People have hard hearts. Sometimes I think God is waiting patiently for you to get to the end of yourself where you don't have anywhere to go but to God. This boy in the hog pen didn't have anywhere to look but back to his Father. And that's what God is waiting for us. He's waiting for those who are away from Him to come to the end of themselves. And when you return to Him, He will have compassion on you. He will welcome you and He will forgive you. So let me tell you, if you don't belong to Jesus Christ, but you've come to the end of your rope, I want you to know that the Heavenly Father loves you. He is patiently and compassionately drawing you. He loves you so much that He will forgive you and welcome you into His family. He wants you out of the hog pen and back in the household. From the hog pen to the household. Look at verse 23 and 24. Again, there's joy. Bring the fatted calf and let's be merry. And they began to be merry. Again, there is joy over one sinner that repents. So I got a few questions for you, and then I want to explain something to you. Where are you this morning? Have you strayed away like the lost sheep? Perhaps you just got distracted. You know, they tell us sheep will put their nose to the ground and start eating, and they'll just walk and keep eating and walk and keep eating, and they don't have a clue where they are. That's all they're focused on. Maybe you've gotten distracted and just wandered off somewhere. Have you dropped out of sight or out of service like that lost coin? It wasn't any good to that lady when it was missing, right? Perhaps you just simply slipped through the crack, so now you really have no use to God's kingdom. You're lost out there somewhere. And thirdly, have you become mired in sin like the lost son? Have you thought, man, I'm stuck in this. How do I ever get out of this? Have you wasted your life? Have you wasted the good things God has given you? But here's the important question. Are you spiritually hungry and needy? Are you ready to come to your senses and go to your Heavenly Father? Now let me explain two things, and then we'll have our time of commitment. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come to the end of yourself and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Say, Brother John, I don't know how that works. I don't know what that means. Here's what that means. It means coming to the point where you realize, I can't be the boss of my life anymore. I am a sinner. I have sinned against God. I need to confess and repent of my sin and ask the Lord to save me and give me new life. And Jesus says He will do that. How much does the Father love you? Well, our favorite verse of Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So I'm here to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you want to, turn away from your sin, confess it, turn away from it, and turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him by faith to save you. That doesn't mean you're still trusting yourself and what you can do. You're trusting Jesus Christ by faith to save you. But I know there's a lot of folks in this building this morning that are already saved. But perhaps you have wandered off like the sheep. Perhaps you have dropped out of sight. Perhaps you have wasted some time and got stuck, hung up in some sin. How do you repent of that? How do you ever get it right? Well, it's about the same way. You come to yourself. You realize the state you're in, the position you're in, and you admit your sin to God. Hey, tell Him about it. He already knows, right? Tell Him about it. Admit your sin to God. Repent of that sin and ask Him to restore you to the fellowship you once had as His child. As His child. If you're His child, He wants to restore you to that fellowship. If you're not His child, He wants you to be His child. That's the offer. That's the invitation. We call it. You're invited to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior if you've never done so before, or to come back to Jesus Christ if you've somehow strayed away. Let's stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. And we are going to pray. After we pray, we will have some music, and during that time, you can come and respond to this invitation. You can come and speak to me, and if you need to know Jesus, we'll get you with someone who will talk to you. If you need help with getting yourself right with God, we'll get someone who will help you with that. Perhaps you just need to come to the altar and pray and confess sin, or perhaps you need to come to the altar and just thank the Heavenly Father for loving you the way He does. But this is your time of response. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the beautiful pictures of the Father's love that You have shown us in these three stories. Thank You, Lord, that You love us the way You do. Thank You, Lord, for drawing us, for being so patient with us, and for being willing to receive us. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that if there's anyone in this place who does not know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that they would come to the point right now to turn their life over to You, turn from their sin, and place their faith on You forever. And Lord, if there's believers here who have somehow strayed, I pray You draw them to repentance as well. Glorify Yourself during this time. Do Your will in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond however the Lord leads you.